Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay, so read our Bibles today. Continue our teaching today, and then we just end it. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay, so Acts of Apostles 17, verse 1 to 3. Acts of Apostles 17, 1 to 3. The big how the gospel was proclaimed. The river, how the gospel was proclaimed. Acts 17, 1 to 3. And it says, now when they had passed through and told it, then Apollonia,
okay.
Acts of Apostles 17, 1 to 3. Now when they had passed through and studied in Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Hallelujah. This Jesus whom I preach to you is what? The Christ. You know, last week we ended or closed at seeing how that because the gospel is the revelation of God's fulfillment of his promises in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ. The gospel is about Jesus' death and resurrection. It has a definite content. Because of that, we cannot assume that men can preach the gospel by their lifestyles. Amen. It has to be said. It has to be spoken. It has to be taught. Amen. So today we're just going to continue and we'll take a more closer look at these things. So then, I want to spend some time again this morning elaborating on the nature of the message we are to proclaim. Glory to God. So, let's write. What we just read at Acts 17, 1 to 3 now. The word explaining. The word explaining. Oh well, we fix it. So there should be a time when we come to fix that. The word explaining, as used here in the Greek word, or as used here, is the Greek word, theanoigo. The word explaining, as used here, is the Greek word, theanoigo, which is spelled D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O, theanoigo, which was the same word translated opening at Luke 24, verse 32. Which was the same word translated opening at Luke 24, 32. Theanoigo. How many of us remember the explanation of that word opening back from last week? When we said he opened to us the scriptures. Did our heart not burn as he was opening the scriptures to us? What was that opening? Was he flipping through the pages of the Bible or explaining things to them? Alright, so that's the same word translated opening at Luke 24, 32 and opened at Acts 16, 14. Acts 16, 14. Don't worry, just drop all those things and get this. Acts 16, 14. Opening Acts 16, 14. That's when Paul's the Bible says, the Lord opened the heart of the woman to receive the gospel. He said, our couple. And all that. So it's the same thing. So let's write. So the opening is an explanation. In fact, the KJV says, the opening is an explanation. So I'm expounding on what I'm saying. The KJV
at Acts 17:1-3 says, opening and alleging. How many of you have that translation? Yeah, it says opening and alleging. And that's what the NKJV says or explains as explaining and demonstrating. Opening and alleging is the same. So, the opening is an explanation. We are still writing. The scriptures remain a closed book until it is explained in the light of Christ. The scriptures remain a closed book until it is explained in the light of Christ. Amen. You know, many times, it just came to me to say this. Technical people always look like they are incompetent in church. But it's not like that. Hallelujah. Those things you want, praise God. Alright, so, it remains a closed book until it is explained in the light of Christ. And now, this is the major problem of critics. Lack of understanding. Glory be to God. So, you know, the Bible is a closed book to them. They can't understand. Listen, they can't understand it because without an explanation, without somebody, you know, guiding you through and showing you those things, you will not be able to comprehend what he said. So many times when you look at the arguments and, you know, the things that critics bring forth against the gospel or against the Christian faith, when you look at it very well, you discover that these people are not knowledgeable, they are ignorant. I mean, why would somebody say, how can they say a snake was talking in the garden? Was it a snake? Hallelujah. How can somebody say that? So, a lot of the things they bring up, you discover is because the Bible is closed to them. Because the only thing that opens the scriptures is an explanation. Hallelujah. Did you get that? That's the only thing that opens the scriptures. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Acts of Apostles 8. This is a common story. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. And I'm going to start from verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. What was he reading? Isaiah the what? Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Let's read together verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Hallelujah. How can I unless someone what? Guides me. The Bible was a mysterious thing to this guy. The scriptures. So he had no understanding because nobody had been able to explain or show him the essence of the scriptures. So what did Philip do? Glory to God. What exactly did Philip do? Look at verse 35. Verse 35. Let's read together. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. So you know, I said, the Bible remains what? A closed book until it is explained in the light of Christ. So the moment Philip began to show him things concerning Jesus from the Bible, his understanding opened. Glory be to God. Alright, let's keep writing. Write down these definitions of the word dianoigo. Number one, to open by dividing or drawing asunder. To open by dividing or drawing asunder, or to open thoroughly. You don't have a Bible? On your phone? No? Get it. Get a hard copy Bible. To open by dividing or drawing asunder, or to open thoroughly. Number two, to open the mind of one, that is to cause to understand a thing. To open the mind of one, that is to cause to understand a thing. So when we say he opened their mind or he opened the scriptures, that's what we're saying. It caused them to understand. Number three, to rouse in one the faculty of understanding or the desire of learning. To rouse in one the faculty of understanding or to cause a desire for learning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll go over them again. Number one, to open by dividing or drawing asunder, or to open thoroughly. Number two, to open the mind of one, or to cause to understand a thing. Number three, to rouse in one the faculty of understanding or the desire of learning. Let's keep writing. The implication of these definitions, is that understanding doesn't come without the scriptures being opened thoroughly and expounded. The implication of these definitions is that the understanding of the scriptures does not come without, or the understanding doesn't come without scriptures being opened thoroughly and expounded. That is, if we want a man to understand the scriptures, we must be ready to open the scriptures thoroughly. Copious explanations. As in the case of Philip and the man, the eunuch. You see how Bible says from that scripture, yes, he showed him things concerning from that scripture. So he went through other scriptures. In the case of Christ, Luke 24, 27, beginning at Moses, he expounded to them from Moses and all the prophets the things concerning himself. That is the only way men will come to understand the word of God. Hallelujah. So let's still write. There are no shortcuts for understanding the message. There are no shortcuts for understanding the message. Make sure you are writing. In case you don't know, you are going to submit your notes. And we are going to check. Hallelujah. So if you like, you do it like this. And you're not writing anything. After the whole thing, we'll see. Praise God. So there are no shortcuts for understanding the message. Glory be to God. Let's still write. The word demonstrating. This is still a commentary on Acts 17. The word demonstrating is the Greek word paratitemi. The word demonstrating is the Greek word paratitemi. Someone says, why are we writing Greek word? English is also not our language. Praise God. Both are linked. Praise God. Alright, so let's spell P-A-R-A T-I-T-H-E-M-I. P-A-R-A-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Paratitemi. And it means to place before or to set before. It means to place before or to set before. Via teaching. It means to place before or to set before via teaching. This is also about giving men an explanation. That's how we set things before men. It's by explaining. You put things before them to consider. Hallelujah. So, this is also about giving men an explanation. Now, what exactly was Paul expounding from or expounding on at Acts 17, 1-3? Look at your Bibles. Acts 17, 1-3. What was he expounding on? Or what was he setting before men from the scriptures? Acts 17, 1-3. What exactly was he expounding on and setting before men? Let's go. Want to go? That Christ had to what? And rise again from the dead. So, and he says, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. So, from the Old Testament, that means he was showing them the promises of God concerning redemption, concerning the gift of eternal life and all that, right? Old Testament scriptures. Let's see Luke 24, 46. You find this consistently all through the Bible. Luke 24 and then 46. Glory to God. Luke 24, 46. Bible says, thus he said, then he said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What was necessary? What was written and what was necessary? That Christ should what? Suffer and to what? Rise again from the dead. So those are the things you will find in the prophetic writings. They capture the essence of Jesus' work. Sacrificial work. Of course, last week I told you, also his ministry. Also his birth. But then, the essence of his birth and his ministry was because of his finished work on the cross. Because of the work of redemption. Hallelujah. Let's see other places. Look at Acts 18, verse 28 also. Acts 18, 28. Acts 18, 28. Glory be to God. Acts 18, 28. Bible says, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is what? Is the Christ. What was he showing from the scriptures? That Jesus is the Christ. Who is the Christ? Who is the Christ? It's correct. Jesus as the Christ came for what purpose? What was his identity? And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. So it's about the work of redemption, right? So that means when he was showing them and, you know, vigorously refuting and showing them from scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, it's not just saying he is the Christ, he is the Christ. He must have been showing them what he was coming to do. Amen. The essence of his work. The promises of God pertaining to the work of redemption. Is that right? 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for what? Our sins, according to what? The scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he was, and that he rose again the third day, according to what? The scriptures. Hallelujah. So let's write this down. So our message is from the study of the scriptures. As basic as what I just said, as basic as it sounds, it is not a popular opinion. Our message is from the study of the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the message is not from human experiences, good or bad. The man that we just read from, the man Paul, you know, he had one of the most remarkable experiences. That was a man who was persecuting the church, fighting against men. He was causing havoc, putting men into prison for preaching Jesus. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, and they cast their clothes at his feet. Or at his feet. He was there. He was bearing witness to that. This was a man that was hell-bent on destroying the mission of the church. And then Jesus appeared to him on his way to Damascus. And he was stopped in his tracks. Hallelujah. He saw a light. So great was the light. You know, when Paul was narrating that experience, he says, the light was brighter than the sun. Hallelujah. He went blind for days. Glory to God. And you know, I've heard people say that, well, it was not the light that really blinded him. So what blinded him? Praise God. What blinded him? The stars. Amen. Do you know what Paul said at 1 Timothy 6? He says, Jesus, he says, he dwells in a light no man can approach unto. Glory be to God. No man can approach unto it. For instance, in the book of Genesis, when Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. And then he said to him, no one sees me and lives. Do you know what Moses was asking for was to see him physically with his bare eyes? Amen. So what he meant by that is not that God cannot reveal himself to people or that God wants to hide himself. The point is, in a mortal state, it's a light no man can approach unto. So what Paul saw was the tip of the iceberg. Hallelujah. Jesus appeared with a light so bright, he went blind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't say it's the sun because it says it is brighter than the sun. So, he had such a remarkable experience, but his gospel was not based on that experience. Hallelujah. He says, I deliver to you that which I also received. That Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures. He rose again according to what? The scriptures. Because the scriptures are the basis for our message. Write this in your notes. Write this in your notes. God does not bring a message from your mess. Hallelujah. Put it in your notes. God does not bring a message from your mess. Hallelujah. Do you know the meaning of mess? Whatever you've gone through in life, your mistakes, your experiences, God can give you a message from your mess. That's not the God of the New Testament. All such messages don't even edify. Hallelujah. You had a bad experience in courtship. Now God has sent you to singles. Amen. And then, that's the basis for a lot of messages, a lot of ministries in the body of Christ today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heartbreak. Say, now, after I've suffered like 26 heartbreaks, I need to guide people properly on how to enter relationships. Amen. You are the one we should guide. Why did you suffer 26 heartbreaks? Amen. People have gone through all manner of things. Addictions to drugs. Addictions to sex. And then your ministry is about how to liberate addicts. Addicts. Those who are not addicts. Amen. You don't have to go through anything to have a message for the world. One person went through all and gave us his message. Hallelujah. That Christ will suffer. That is the message. And that he rose again from the dead. And that repentance and remission of sins will be preached to all nations from that experience. Amen. Hallelujah. Many times people feel that you are talking down on those things. Multiple shades of expressions of ministry. No. That is not multiple expressions of ministry. If you come to 1 Corinthians 12, the diversity of ministries mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 is stated way down at verse 27, 28, 29. It is not multiplicity of messages based on your own peculiar experiences or circumstances. It is ministry offices advancing the same gospel. Amen. So you have apostles, pastors, evangelists. Okay, where do we put somebody who is sent to addicts? Addicts. Is there an office for it? No. Glory to God. Who are apostles? Who are apostles? Huh? Who are apostles? I am not saying give me a definition. What do they do? Evangelists, what do they do? What do they preach? Pastors, what do they preach? Christ. Prophets, what do they preach? That Donald Trump will not enter. What exactly do they preach? Christ. If you read through scriptures, you find that Judas and Silas were prophets in the early church. The Bible says they taught and exhorted men in the grace of God. So prophets in those days were also teachers. That's why Ephesians 4, 11 to 12, the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So a prophet is not somebody that comes to church to daze people and as he's dazing us, go deeper, papa, praise God. That's not his work. Amen. The prophet is meant to train the saints. Sometimes he has a very strong, flow in prophetic gifts and utterances, revelations. The end thereof is to mature the saints to flow in the same. Not that he's flowing in it and we're like, Hallelujah. God, they use people, child. That's not the essence. Hallelujah. That's not the essence. When I prophesy, you don't say, prophesy to me, sir. Go deeper, sir. You too, you should be praying because you might soon prophesy. Hallelujah. That's the essence. So, we don't have multiplicity of messages. We have one gospel. Hallelujah. Just one gospel. So, God does not bring a message from your mess. Amen. He has given you a message from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. Does this mean I cannot share my experiences with people on a normal? Of course you can. But that's not the message. Amen. If I come to church, I'm not coming to share my experience. Do you know how many things I've suffered in this life? If I want to build a ministry on things I've suffered in this life, you will not even be here. Amen. So the message is not from our experiences. It is from the scriptures. And what do we find in the scriptures? God's promises made concerning Christ. God's promises fulfilled in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we could go on and on. Write this down. And I told you God cannot bring a message out of your mess. It's not scriptural. Every pain is your gain. It's not true. Those are just high sounding words. So write this down. Experiences like heartbreaks. Experiences like heartbreaks, addiction to sex and drugs, alcohol. Experiences like heartbreaks, addictions to sex, drugs and alcohol. Poverty. Hallelujah. You know, that's an experience. Poverty. Some prosperity gospels came from poverty. You might say, the things we suffered in my house. No! No! Jesus died so we can not be poor. Don't he die so we can have money? You can't tell me. The man has gone through a lot and it's understandable. Hallelujah. I mean, if you were born in Somalia or some other places where they had some serious economic recessions and they had wars that destroyed their economy, and then you now come across a message that seems to have some hope of abundant life. Praise God. That abundant life to you will not be seen as eternal life first. The first way you are going to interpret it will be abundant. Praise God. How we can, you know, get a lot of things from that life. So, poverty. Domestic violence. Domestic violence. Rape. Women empowerment. In fact, those ones are the deadliest. All those women empowerment ministries. Hallelujah. No, as though it's a war. Praise God. For a long time, what are we? We will emerge. We too will emerge in the church. Women empowerment programs. A lot of women labor on that. And that's their ministry. It's not true. Hallelujah. Do you know why you don't need an extra gospel to empower women? Because in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. Hallelujah. All that avails is a new creature. So in Christ Jesus, there's no special treatment for the man or for the woman. So that gender inequality that is in the world is destroyed by the gospel. You don't need an extra approach. Just stay with the gospel. Amen. You know, Jesus went to Samaria. It was forbidden for men to relate with women. He related with the woman by the way. Followed her to her house. You know, that's destroying cultural barriers and all those things. So you don't need an extra message to correct many of the ills. For instance, addictions. How does a man break loose from addiction? By the renewing of his mind. Hallelujah. What did I say? What are they going to give him during therapy? Things that try to distract him from the addiction. Amen. And sometimes those things are so weak and powerless, they don't change anybody. You are a smoker. From tomorrow, don't smoke again. Go and be chewing this thing. It's a rubber. Just chew it anytime you feel like smoking. The brain knows the difference between rubber and rotmans. Hallelujah. So it won't last. Glory to God. It won't last. You are addicted to pornography. Throw away your phone. You don't need your phone. Do you need your phone? You don't. You have a DVD here that will play everything you have seen in your life. So those approaches are weak and powerless. What is the prescription in the Bible? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How does a man walk in the Spirit? By focusing on the word of God, the gospel. So you see, many of those ills we are trying to address and all that, the gospel is sufficient. Amen. The gospel is sufficient. So if we stay with this ministry, we are going to transform the lives of men without trying to pick a message based on different things people are going through. Because the message has been decided and it is a singular message of Christ's death and resurrection and what that has done for you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, keep writing. I said, none of these things, all those things we have written, addictions, heartbreaks, domestic violence. I mean, why would a man be domestically abusive? And I said it last week, it is not just the man. Amen. The woman can also be in the one dishing out domestic violence. Amen. So don't always assume it is the man. When you hear, there's a case of domestic violence reported, don't quickly assume it's a man until you hear the story. It could be the woman. Hallelujah. The man says, I'm going out. The woman says, come back here. If you leave that, if you step out of that door, praise God. The man says, I'm going to step out. If you step out of that door, and the man leaves, daring the wife, hallelujah, comes back in the night, is greeted with a slap. Bah! A woman. And as the man wants to corner the hand, gives him, because the woman learned karate. The woman was a black belter before you got married. But the day you got married, she was wearing a gown. You did not know that he got over a bare gown, praise God. It will be the woman. Sometimes some women are not physically violent. Amen. May you not mismarry. So the woman says, don't worry, you have done your own. Amen. And then puts things in your foot strategically. Glory to God. You just discovered you cannot leave the house. Before your tummy upsets, you go back. Amen. Is that not domestic violence? In fact, that is wickedness. Hallelujah. In fact, for some women, what they will do is to make sure, okay, so you have done your own. Till further notice, I will not be in the mood for anything good. Amen. So the man is expecting something romantic at night. They give you knock. All kinds of torment in the house. You know, sometimes Christian men cannot make such complaints in the church. Because the pastor may say, you are carnal. What is that? Go and fast. Go and fast and pray. What do you mean? The one you have been doing since. So they can't complain so fast. So, but if you are a brother in this church and you are going through that, come and meet me. We are going to call a meeting. What do you mean? Hallelujah. So, all manner. Those things are not found in the prophetic writings. Amen. You cannot preach it from the scriptures. That is why you have to depend solely on your experience. Hallelujah. And that's a sinking sand. The message is a person. Praise God. The message is what? Is a person. Huh? I said none of those things are found in the prophetic writings. The message is a person. You don't have to go through anything to have a message. You don't have to go through everything or anything to have a message. Someone went through hell to give us a message. Someone went through hell to give us a message. His name is Jesus. The gospel reveals his promises fulfilled for us. You don't have to go through hell, through anything to have a message. Someone went through hell to give us a message. His name is Jesus. The gospel reveals his promises fulfilled for us. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Are we up there? 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's read together. For all the promises of God, in him are what? And in him what? Truth to the glory of God. What was Paul saying? Exactly. Look at the context. From verse 17. What did Paul mean by all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ? They are yea and amen in Christ. What did he mean? Look at from verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 17. Glory be to God. Corinthians 1, 17. Down to 19. Paul speaking, he says, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me, there should be yes, yes, and no, no. But as God is faithful, and our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Hallelujah. You know, because he was telling them about his plan to visit them, which eventually did not, you know, go as planned. So he says, when I was planning it, was I planning to not fulfill my promise? That's what he meant by was I doing yes and no. And now says Jesus that was preached among you, it wasn't yes and no. That is, when we say we are going to do something, we are meant to do it. We are meant to fulfill the promise. So he says, Jesus, in the same way, the promises of God in him are not yes and no. Hallelujah. That is, God didn't make a promise and then turn his back on it. And the implication of this is that the promise of God is not dependent on any man's faithfulness. It is not dependent on anything. So when God made promise to bless the world in Christ, the world was doing all against that promise. Men were in unbelief. Men fought against the will of God. But God did not change his mind. Hallelujah. Because with God, you don't find a yes and a no. What you find is yes and amen. Hallelujah. Amen means surely, verily, done. So the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ because God is faithful. Hallelujah. Because God is what? God is faithful. So that's the gospel declared to us. The promises of God that have found its fulfillment in the person of Christ. How that we have been blessed in him. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Let's write down a few of these things. How we've been blessed in him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. How we've been blessed in him. So I'm sharing with you the details of the fulfillment. What does it mean to say we have received the fulfillment of God's promises? This is what it means. We have been blessed in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. What does it say? Look into your Bibles. Ephesians 3, 13 to 14. What does it say? I'm listening. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of who might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of what? The Spirit. So are we blessed in Christ? Yes. That's the fulfillment of God's promise. That we have been blessed in him. Ephesians 1:3. What does it say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Not 2:9, 3:9. 1 Peter 3:9 says you have been called to this, that you may what? Inherit a blessing. Do not give reviling for reviling, you know, don't curse and all that. He says, because to this you have been called, that you also might inherit a blessing. So that is what Christ has done for us. That is the implication of the fulfillment of God's promises. Listen, every believer is blessed to the same measure, hallelujah, and to the same degree. It's the same. How that we have his Spirit. Second thing, how that we have his Spirit. Write these things down. How that we have the Spirit as a fulfillment. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. How that we have the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:5. What is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9? But you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells within you, and if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So every believer has the Spirit. What's in 2 Corinthians 5:5? Huh? He that establishes us, who has given us the Spirit as the earnest in our hearts. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. What does it say, Bible students? Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, doing what? Crying, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were what? You were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to God. All that we have is life. You know, it's the same. The blessing, the Spirit, the life, they're all the same. But you have different descriptions. All that we have is life. John 3:16, popular scripture. You don't need to be a Bible student to know this. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. What does this say? Now you need to be a Bible student. Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were what? Buried with him in baptism. And you, raised up newness of what? Newness of life. Hallelujah. Titus 1, 2 to 3. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. What does it say? In hope of what? Eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time, and has fulfilled his word, or made known his word, through what? Through preaching. Glory to God. How that we have his righteousness. That's the gospel to us. How that we have his righteousness. How that we have his righteousness. Make sure you're writing. How that we have his righteousness. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. What is there? 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who was made to us what? Wisdom, righteousness, justification, sanctification. Hallelujah. So Jesus has become for us what? Righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin for us, who? That we might become what? The righteousness of God. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Do you know what it means to be God's righteousness? It means you stand before God as God. Hallelujah. The way you can't find fault in God, that's the way you can't find fault in the Christian. You stand before him in his very righteousness. You are clothed in God's perfection. Hallelujah. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation is not to them because of where they are. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory be to God. So you see, this is the gospel. This is different from, you know, I suffered so much in my father's house. I suffered so much. He assaulted me. Praise God. I'm now out there to defend people from assault. It sounds great. It's good. You can even build a secular organization on it. And it will be okay. Praise God. But that is not the gospel. Hallelujah. In the gospel, you find the Holy Ghost. In all those human experiences, the Holy Ghost is absent. That the only place the Holy Ghost finds expression is in where? In the gospel. You know, that is why the Bible refers to him as the Spirit of Truth. He bears witness to Christ. Jesus says he will not testify of himself. He will not speak of himself. He will speak of who? Of me. Imagine the Holy Ghost is not speaking of himself, but me. I want to speak of myself. Praise God. And now connect it to Christ. Praise God. No. So, the Holy Ghost finds expression only in the gospel. It is as we preach the word, hallelujah, men are liberated from every stronghold of Satan. Glory to God. So the power is in the word. Say to your neighbor, the power is in the word. Say to your neighbor, the power is in the word. Say to your neighbor, the Holy Ghost is in the word. Hallelujah. Do you know, before Jesus sent us to preach this message, he had to empower us by his spirit. Anybody can get on the street and just talk about experiences and stories. You don't need the spiritual empowerment. But the message we bear, we have to receive the Holy Ghost to preach it. Hallelujah. It's the power of God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start from verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who then shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall condemn those the Lord has justified? There is none. He says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? None. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is the one that has justified us. I mean, you want to go and report me to God? The God you want to report me to already says, I'm not guilty. Hallelujah. So it's a waste of time. That is what it means to be righteous in the sight of God. He finds no fault. And I've said this over and over again, that when Abraham was called the righteous man, it wasn't because he was flawless or perfect in himself. Have you noticed that there was nothing said about Abraham's misconduct by God? Have you noticed that you and I are the ones who know that Abraham went to have something to do with Hagar, and he compromised the plan of God for him. He didn't wait patiently. He listened to Sarah. And you are aware, we are the ones who have that record, and we are talking about it today. It's recorded, but then when you look at it very well, God said nothing about it. Hallelujah. He said nothing about it. It was like Abraham did nothing. It was like Sarah did nothing. That is the blessedness of the man to whom God shall not impute sin. It is not that there is no sin, but it is not imputed. Romans chapter 4 and verse 7. Blessed is the man whom God forgives, whose lawless deeds are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. That's righteousness. Standing blameless in his sight, based on his own merits. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's keep writing. How that we have his divine nature. How that we have his divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. What's there? 2 Peter 1, 3. Bible students. According as his power has given unto us what? I'm listening. 2 Peter 1, 3. What's there? Wait. Some of you are waiting for somebody else to start. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1, 3. What's there? According as his divine power has given us all things that what? Pertain to life and hallelujah. Through the knowledge of him, called us to glory and what? Verse 4. By which we have exceedingly great and precious, that through this we may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. So we have his divine nature. Glory to God. How that we have his power. Praise God. How that we have his power. Acts of Apostles 1:8. How that we have his power. Glory to God. What men are paying money to go and acquire, we have it naturally. Hallelujah. And it surpasses what's in the world. The power of God. What's in Acts 1:8? Wait. If you don't know this one, are you even a witness? Acts 1:8. What's there? You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall what? In what? Some of you just mixed everything together in Asia, in Nigeria. Praise God. Don't worry. We understand. Ephesians 3:20. All that we have is power. What's in Ephesians 3:20? Wait. What's in Ephesians 3:20? Exceedingly. That some of you remember that verse. Abundantly. What's in Ephesians 3:20? Want to go? Now to him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think, according to what? His power at work in us. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. How that we are loved by God. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. How that we are loved by God. Romans in chapter 5 and 5. Romans 5, 5. How that we are loved by God. Praise God. How that we are loved by God. What's in Romans 5, 5? Hope does not what? Oh, wait. What's in Romans 5, 5? Let's start. Want to go? The love of God has been what? Shed abroad in our hearts. By what? By His Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 John 3, 1. How that we have His love. Glory to God. What's in 1 John 3, verse 1? Wait. 1 John, don't pretend like you did not hear me. Praise God. Okay. No. You are hearing me well. This mic is so loud. 1 John 3, 1. Let's go. The Father has bestowed on us that we should what? We should be called children of God. Are we loved of God? Are we the beloved of God? Does God love us? Hallelujah. Look at this also. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. What's in 1 John 4:17? Love has been what? Some of you have quickly opened. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:17. Love has been made perfect amongst us in this, that we may what? Have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. How that we are preserved in Him. How that we are preserved in Him. You can say preserved and secure in Him. That's the gospel. Aren't you excited? Hallelujah. You know, that's the kind of thing to hear every day. That's the kind of thing that builds up. Paul calls it the word of His grace. Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. You don't find that kind of edification in human experiences. Your story. Hallelujah. Your story. Your mess. Hallelujah. No. You find it only in His message. Glory to God. How that we are preserved and secure in Him. 1 Peter 1:3-5. 1 Peter 1:3-5. What's there? Hallelujah. Pastor, this one is long now. 1 Peter 1:3-5. What's there? Who has what? Blessed us with every... Hallelujah. Who has begotten us again to a living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved where? In heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith ready to be revealed in the last days. Hallelujah. It's not that hard, you know. Just follow it. Jude 1. Hallelujah. What is in Jude 1? Huh? No. That's Jude 1 way down. That's Jude 1:24. Jude 1. Oh yeah, look at your Bible. Even me too, I can't recite it. I only know it says, to them that are preserved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So look at your Bible, let's read. Jude 1. And preserved where? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright. Let's keep writing. How that we've been redeemed, forgiven, washed, cleansed, and sanctified. How that we've been redeemed, forgiven, washed, cleansed, and sanctified. That's the gospel. How that we've been redeemed, forgiven, washed, cleansed, and sanctified. Amen. Listen, sanctification is not a second work of grace. Sanctification is not in progress on the part of Christ. Hallelujah. We are to realize we have been sanctified, and by that realization, live our lives in sanctification. Amen. It is not that I stand out in Christ trying to sanctify myself. I have been sanctified. I have been justified. Hallelujah. I have been washed and cleansed. I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. Glory to God. So let's write Acts of Apostles 13:39. Acts 13:39. What's there? Huh? It's justified from all things from which you could not be what? Justified from the law of Moses. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered because of our what? And was raised again because of what? Of our justification. Glory to God. Ask your neighbor, are you quoting along? Ask your neighbor, are you quoting along? Or are you chewing your mouth? Praise God. Say to your neighbor, if you are chewing your mouth, it's because there's work to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 5:1. What's there? Wait. Romans 5:1. What's there? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone says, well, that's not my own translation. That's the problem. We understand. Galatians 2:16. Don't worry. Just read out. Sometimes you don't quote, you read. Knowing that a man is not by the works of the law, but by what? By faith in Christ, we will have, and not by the works of the law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, that was when Paul was making a defense of the gospel. Ephesians 1:7. Wait. If you don't know this one, we will revoke your TSK membership. Ephesians 1:7. Through his blood, the forgiveness of... Ah, this guy. Colossians 1:14. They are the same. Praise God. In fact, at Colossians, it says in whom. Ephesians 1:7 says in him. It's the same. Hallelujah. So, when you quote Ephesians 1:7 as in whom we have redemption, we will not police it. It's just grammar. Praise God. You say, you won't in whom. It's Colossians 1:14. No, it's the same. So, Ephesians 1:7 again. In him we have redemption through the forgiveness according to what? The riches of his glory. Verse 8. Which he made to abound towards us in what? No wisdom and... Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of times... Verse 11. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 2:13. Glory be to God. Colossians 2:13. Now sometimes, you know why I did that for you? Sometimes your mind is familiar with it, but you don't know you can quote it. But you've read it a couple of times, and if you just follow what you are saying, and you put your mind to use it, it just flow out. Hallelujah. Colossians 2:13. What does it say? Has he made alive together with him? Having what? forgiving you all trespasses. Glory to God. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Titus 3, 4 to 7. Glory to God. Titus 3, 4 to 7. But when kindness and the love of our Savior toward God, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to what? His mercy, he saved us. By what? Washing of generation and renewing of the Holy Ghost, whom he poured out abundantly on us, that having been what? That having been justified by his grace, we might be what? Heirs according to the hope of what? Eternal life. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. How that we are one spirit with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly places. How that we are one spirit with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenly places. 1 Corinthians 6:17, Ephesians 2:4-6. 1 Corinthians 6:17, Ephesians 2:4-6. What's in 1 Corinthians 6:17? He that is what? Joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Ephesians 2:4-6. Ephesians 2:4-6. I can't hear you clearly. God who is rich in mercy, because when which he has what? When we were, has now made us, for by grace you have been what? And then he says, he has what? Verse 6. He has made us to sit together with him in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. How that we are blameless in his love. How that we are blameless in his love. Ephesians 1:4. How that we are blameless in his love. Ephesians 1:4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's in Ephesians 1:4? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Glory to God. So let's keep writing. The Holy Ghost is found in the gospel alone. The Holy Ghost is found in the gospel alone. All those messages from pain and experiences may sound good, but the Spirit of God is not in them. The Holy Ghost is found in the gospel alone. All those messages of pain and experiences may sound good, but the Spirit of God is not in them. Do you agree with this? Hallelujah. Do you agree with this? You know, because if you read through scriptures, everywhere you find the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost testifying, the Holy Ghost saying, witnessing, you find him witnessing and testifying to the gospel. Right from the Old Testament, he's been consistent. I'll quote you three scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 to 11. Bible says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1, 19, 20, 20, he says, no prophecies of any private interpretation, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Revelation 19, 10, worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So consistently, you find the Holy Ghost where? In the gospel. Hallelujah. You find the Holy Ghost where? In the gospel. Praise God. How to brand your business and attract more clients. After this service, see Mr. Jerry or Mr. Ojiame or what's his name? Mr. Samuel. Where's OJ? That's their specialty. Praise God. If you come to church and I begin to teach how to brand your business, my message is void of the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is not in it. So what am I teaching you? I'm teaching you earthly wisdom, natural things, which are not bad in themselves. But the place or the platform for preaching that is not the church. Hallelujah. Paul writing to Timothy says, I've written to you. If I delay and I don't come on time, I've written to you so you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the church of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. The pillar and what? The ground of truth. What is that truth? Verse 16, 1 Timothy 3:15, and then at verse 16 it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was made manifest in the flesh, seen by angels, hallelujah, declared on in the world, preached among Gentiles, declared on in the world. So the truth that the church is a pillar and a ground for is the truth concerning Jesus, his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. So many times, the problem in the body of Christ is that we are not able to do things orderly and decently. And I said this to somebody, I said, if I go to, for instance, if I enroll my child in a school, and every time the child comes back from school, he says, Daddy, school was very powerful today. What happened? It taught us from the book of Genesis, then the second teacher taught us Exodus, showed us Jesus, then another one, I will withdraw my child. Hallelujah. Do I like the gospel? Yes. Do I love the gospel? Yes. Do I want my children to understand the gospel? Yes. That's not why I enrolled them in school. Amen. If it was a Bible school, man, you are doing a great job. Hallelujah. But that you went to your place of work and your employer wants to train you how to be a prayerful person. Amen. I'm not sure you will stay. Say, the tongues are essential. Hallelujah. Tongues are very important. Every believer must learn to pray in tongues. That's what you wake up to, run to your place of work to hear every day. Amen. Well, if the man is paying well, stay. Oh, Lord, praise God. But that is not what is meant to be done at the place of work. You know, when Jesus chased people out of the temple, it was not because what they were doing was wrong. It was where? Hallelujah. Selling doves and turtle and exchanging money, buru the change, is good. But when they turned the temple to that, Jesus says, no. You've turned my house into a den of robbers and thieves. Has it not been written? My house shall be called the house of what? Of prayer for all nations. So several legitimate things, legitimate insight and knowledge, legitimate earthly wisdom, but that is not the wisdom the church has been sent to preach and herald. Do you agree with this? The wisdom we are sent to preach is about Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I want you to read materials that will help you become better in your business. That are written by just anybody that has done business well. Amen. You know, certain pastors that have anointing for excelling in business have not done any business. Amen. And sometimes people are there receiving the anointing. He himself has not built any successful business. Hallelujah. Now, there's another man out there in the world that is not a Christian, but has done business successfully and can teach you how to do business successfully. But you know, because you're a Christian, you say, no. Why should I be learning from an unbeliever? No, I have more understanding than my teachers. Praise God. And then you start saying all those things. Well, why fail? Praise God. In business, and you can be doing ministry well. Hallelujah. But in business, you discover that because you are not learning from the right quarters, you will not succeed in business. Now, it's even hypocrisy because we all went to school, right? So, some of your lecturers were atheists. Some of your lecturers were Ifa priests. Amen. Ifa priests. But what he was teaching you, he knew it well. And if you learn it from him, you will learn it well. The only thing you will not take from him is his example of faith or his belief system. But that knowledge he gave you, learn it well. Glory to God. I cannot receive from unbelievers, but you are using Microsoft. Hallelujah. Is Microsoft created by the Holy Ghost? Who created Microsoft? Bill Gates. Hallelujah. Bill Gates. Who is Bill Gates? A pastor of the largest church in Nigeria or in the world? Who is Bill Gates? He's an atheist. Are you sure? Praise God. Are you sure he didn't do foundation class yet? Amen. For him to have had such wisdom, it's earthly. Praise God. The wisdom is what? Earthly wisdom. Hallelujah. Who created Facebook? Amen. Mark created Facebook. He's not a Christian. So, and then we also have other Christians who are innovating things and doing great things in their, you know, field. So, you see, in that particular context, those things are not exclusive to believers. You don't have access to those kind of knowledge or information because you are a Christian. So I want you to take from the secular, that which is secular, and come to the church for that which is spiritual, that which will edify you. Amen. So listen, let me break it down again. In the world, you can be taught how to attract clients and get more sales. When you come to church, I teach you God's word and it impacts your character. So when you get the clients, the way you relate with them is different because of the knowledge of Christ that you have. Amen. That is, maybe if your client insults you, you don't insult back. You don't say, "Sir, customers are always right. Hold it up. Put it in your pocket. It's not here. Hallelujah. I will give it to you." You are expected to conduct yourself in a different manner because of the Spirit of God in you. Hallelujah. This means at your workplace, having learned how to do business from a secular institution, at your workplace, if your boss is so harsh and terrible and is always condescending on people, you are not expected to be one of those who will revolt against him and be saying, "Today we will show him." Hallelujah. We are going to deal with him today. He will know Christianity is not stupidity. Hallelujah. You are not meant to be part of those things. Why? Because of the knowledge of God in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can learn how to make money from the world, right? You can. Not just that you can, you should. Amen. You should. So, what are the ways to make money? People tell you, invest. Have good investments. Have a skill. These days, go to school also, of course, get a certificate. But these days, have a good skill and invest well and all those things. And don't be a party to people who say, Bill Gates dropped out of school. Kinnikon dropped out of school. Hallelujah. The school they dropped out of, by the time they dropped out, they already had knowledge good enough for 7 years education here. Amen. So don't go and just drop out because somebody dropped out somewhere. So school, investment, and all that. So you have a lot of knowledge in the world that any believer can what? Apply. Hallelujah. But when we want to see the difference Jesus is making in your life, we look at your conduct, your attitude and disposition. So you can learn to make money in the world. In Christ, you learn how to spend money. Amen. The right way to spend and to use money. You don't use money for oppression. You use money to serve others. You give, you are generous, you advance the cause of the gospel. They are two different things. Amen. Hallelujah. Basic things. Can everybody have children? Believers, unbelievers? Right? Can everybody, can they have children? What should be the difference in a believer having children and an unbeliever that has children? The way you raise your own children. Hallelujah. You know, concerning Timothy, and that from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So we don't say the reason why you have a child is because you are a Christian. Now, because of your faith, that's the reason why your wife was able to have a child. That's not always the case. In some cases where there was a problem, those are exceptions. Maybe the person was trying to conceive all manner of troubles and, you know, issues. Then eventually, through prayer and, you know, trusting in the power of God, the person delivered. That's an exceptional case. In the case of somebody who reads in school and nothing stays, then we have to lay hands on the head. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, from today, begin to assimilate. In that case, the power of God opened the person's mind, resolved the hindrance, but then eventually, is she going to have to study and read? Now that the power of God has opened her understanding, if she sits in the house trusting God for admission, is she going to gain admission? No. She has to go through the secular, you know, secular system and method, taking all this kind of knowledge and give herself to it to succeed. Amen. So, the only place the knowledge of God makes a difference for you, it's in the area of your lifestyle, your conduct. What Jesus transforms you to be like in the midst of men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we be honest with ourselves? How many Christians really read about money? How many Christians? Not many times people say, no, it's not really about reading, about those things. It's God, it's the power of God. But when you ask many Christians, how many really are financially literate? How many people know where to put money when they have money? Praise God. How many people? All that some people know, the only place they know they should drop money is the offering basket. Hallelujah. Or to buy data and to chat with somebody. So how many people are really financially literate? How many people are reading about business? And do you know the way you learn, as we are learning God's word now, you are meant to learn those things like that if you are to excel in them. So don't let anybody deceive you. Glory to God. So we don't find the Holy Ghost in any other wisdom, any other kind of knowledge. It's only in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is very clear in scriptures. Many of the people who advance a different theory advance it with sentiments. You cannot establish it in scriptures. You now say, but is it wrong? Praise God. Is it wrong is not the way to preach it. Because there are many things that are not wrong. It's about the place where they ought to be done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, is it wrong to do makeup? Is it wrong to come to church this morning as I'm preaching? Somebody is teaching you how to do makeup. It is. So it is not about what is done. It's about the place and the time. Glory to God. So the message that the Spirit of God finds expression in is the gospel alone. Hallelujah. The gospel alone. Let's write. So as it stands, you have no business preaching the gospel if you have not learned it well. As it stands, you have no business preaching the gospel if you have not learned it well. As it stands, you have no business preaching the gospel if you have not learned it well. This is what discipleship is all about. This is what discipleship is all about. This is what discipleship is all about. Jesus made disciples and sent them to make disciples. Jesus made disciples and sent them to make disciples. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know what that means? What that means is simple. If anybody can just arise with any message, I can just sit down somewhere, consider my life and say, oh, this is my message. Then we don't need discipleship. Amen. Why do we need discipleship? Because there's a need for men to learn it. That which is meant to be taught and eroded must first be learned and understood. That's the same reason why we have schools, right? If anybody can have any theory concerning math, we don't need schools. But because there's a system of truth that everybody must receive, that is the reason why we go to school. Praise God. So discipleship exists because the message must be learned. It is not something you begin to preach because you were just inspired. Hallelujah. Yeah, God just inspired me. This is my own message. No. The message has been delivered to us in the scriptures, and we are to be students of the word. Glory to God. That's right. This is how an understanding of the message is passed from one generation to another. This is how an understanding of the message is passed from one generation to another. This is how an understanding of the message is passed from one generation to another. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. What does it say? Matthew 28:18-20. Let's read the Bibles. What does it say? Discipleship is so key because men need to learn the message. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and do what? I can't hear you. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of what? Of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the age.
Hallelujah.
So what does it mean to make disciples? What is the meaning of disciple? A student. Right? So when Jesus says, go and make disciples, what would be the emphasis, or let me say what would be the most predominant or dominant activity of the church? Teaching. Why is that so? Because the gospel has to be learned. You don't just say, I was inspired. As I was coming to church, an inspiration just came to me. Amen. No. It should be from what you have learned. That's why Paul says, I deliver to you what I also what? Received. That Christ died according to what? The scriptures. So Paul was a student of the scriptures. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. The phrase, make disciples, is from the Greek word matetio. The phrase make disciples is from the Greek word matetio. Matetio is spelled M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Matetio. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. If you are feeling sleepy, you know you can chew gum silently to keep awake. It's part of learning. Matetio. Which means to what? To enroll as a scholar. It means to enroll as a scholar. Amen. To enroll as a scholar. And to become a student. To enroll as a scholar and to become a student. Glory to God. That's why if you look at the emphasis, it says teaching them. Make disciples by teaching them. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. In those days, Jewish teachers had a group of people they lectured regularly. In those days, Jewish teachers had a group of people they lectured regularly. John the Baptist and the Pharisees, for instance, had disciples. John the Baptist and the Pharisees, for instance, had disciples. John the Baptist and the Pharisees, for instance, had disciples. Mark chapter 2 verse 18. They had disciples. Mark 2:18. Look up. You know, the reason why I said that is this. Today, the word disciple, without it being explained, the meaning is lost to the average Christian. We are disciples of Christ. In fact, today we don't refer to ourselves as disciples. It's common to just say we are Christians. But you know, the word Christian did not originate from the church. If you read through the book of Acts very well, they refer to believers in Christ as disciples. Disciples were increasing, disciples were gathering, disciples assembled, or the church. The first time the word Christian appears is at Acts of Apostles 11:26. And it was a description of the church by the world. Amen. It was the world that described the church as what? As Christians. So, to the average Christian today, the word disciple has no meaning. It's just vague. But in those days, they understood it. Because when you say a man is a disciple of so and so, it means regularly you see the man following that particular person, a rabbi or a teacher of a synagogue, following with, you know, an intention to go and learn. Hallelujah. So you were not a disciple if you were not learning. You were called a disciple only when you, you know, were committed to learning and taking instructions and paying attention to study. Hallelujah. Listen, that was exactly how they built strongholds in the hearts of people. Look at this place now. Matthew 23 and verse 15. That was how they built strongholds, by teaching. So it was so hard to convince the disciples of the Pharisees, to persuade them away from what they are receiving. Because you see, that thing they know, that thing they held on to as their own belief, did not come cheap. They learned it rigorously. Hallelujah. You know, today you just hear a Christian. I'm no more a Christian. I'm now an atheist. Go and look at him. How did he learn the word? Amen. How did he learn the word? How many of you have noticed that it's so hard to convince a staunch Muslim? Have you noticed? What do you think happened? Discipleship. That's what people call being indoctrinated. He has been so taught. If you are not careful as a Pentecostal Christian, by tomorrow it is Allahu Akbar. Hallelujah. That's what we'll start hearing from you. Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah. And when we say, emoji, what is this? He said, Astaghfirullah just means God forgive us. It's the same, you see. Do you know it's so difficult to persuade Jehovah's Witnesses? Do you know it's so difficult? It is, in fact, it is almost impossible. Agbara alone, Nikolule, see? What do you think happened? Discipleship. They have a hall down this street. You can go there next week. Hallelujah. After church. To go and find out what is happening there. They don't have drum set. Hallelujah. They don't have drum set. They don't have many things. It's a lecture theater. You come in, they pass books around. You just study. Funny enough, the things they are teaching and the things they know are very funny things. I mean, no Jehovah's Witness has ever survived an argument with me. A discussion. Not one. Because many of the things they preach and think they know is nonsense. Hallelujah. I remember one that said, only 144,000 people will be with Jesus on the last day. So I said, read the next verse. from the 144,000 verse, read the next verse. Let's keep going. And a multitude of people which no one could number. Yeah. I've never seen that one before. Praise God. So a lot of out of context teachings and all that. But the point is this. That knowledge, though it is false, the method of receiving it has made it so difficult to persuade them contrary to their beliefs. Hallelujah. But the Pentecostal circles, the Christian church, the place where the enemy is getting us the most is in the way we learn God's word. Before anything sinks, yeah, oh yeah, let's dance it away. Dance, hallelujah. And 5 minutes exhortation, you dance 2 hours. Hallelujah. Nothing happens that no conviction is born that way. So discipleship is not child's play. Hallelujah. It is learning, paying attention to it. You know, we've heard people say that, the Bible study it shouldn't be boring. It shouldn't be boring. You want the preacher to be running from pillar to post. Amen. Pillar to post. You say, my God will do it. My God will do it. If he's not doing that, he's not doing anything. Hallelujah. So, and you know, the preacher has the tendency to have a short lifespan if he teaches like that every time. Amen. You think you can't receive information until the man is stomping his feet. Somebody chatted me up after one of the sessions, caring man, said, but why were you talking gently? Huh? Did you listen to what was being said? Hallelujah. And I was talking gently. I should kill myself. Amen. Now, wait. Did you learn anything in school like that? Today, so we are doing chemistry. So nothing sinks. Hallelujah. Is that how you learned? If somebody teaches you like that in a business class, would you think it was worth it? Amen. Do you know that in the early church, there are times when they just read the scriptures to them? What do you think was happening? They just came and said, letter from Paul, from verse 1. There was no verse said. Letter from Paul. Paul to the Corinthians, and people sat down and they were just listening. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't say, Paul, the man Paul, you know him? He's not too tough. He's not dramatizing all around. They just read it. Amen. And people were edified. What brings the edification? Understanding. It's not the shout, though. It's the understanding. And your mind is opened to a truth. Hallelujah. So discipleship is not child's play. It's a serious work. Matthew 23. You know, I said to you, that was how they built stronghold in the hearts of people. Matthew 23:15. Hallelujah. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. How did they make him twice as much a son of hell? By their doctrine. Hallelujah. You know, I said to you earlier that they had disciples. Mark 2:14, the disciples of John the Baptist and of the Pharisees came to meet him. So, they had disciples, men that were being taught heresies. Strongholds were being erected into their hearts. They were the ones that made it difficult for Jesus to penetrate Israel like he would have done. Because of their influence. Strongholds. Look at Matthew 16, verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 12. I'm going to say something after this. Bible says, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and who? And the Sadducees. So they had doctrines, teachings. And that was discipleship. They were raising disciples, students. Men that would fight to defend what they were being taught, even though it was a lie. Amen. So let me say this. Why do people most times feel that it's out of place to come to church, and as you are learning God's word, you are feeling tired, and you know, there's a deception that because it's a spiritual message, in that environment, you cannot be tired. You cannot, no. That means that's not the word. Praise God. But Eutychus was in a meeting by Paul. Do you know the things Paul was teaching in that meeting? Very sacrosanct things for elders. Was Eutychus an elder? Let's see now. Acts of Apostles 20. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 20. To see the caliber of the man that slept. Acts of Apostles 20. Glory to God. Acts 20. Was he an elder or just a disciple? Where did Paul call for elders? Ephesus. Right? Was Eutychus in Ephesus? No. Let's see. Acts 20. Verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until when? So was he an elder in the church? Or just a disciple? Huh? What does the Bible call him? He says a certain young man. Hallelujah. A disciple. So, there was no particular title. Amen. The ones that had titles of elders were the ones in Ephesus. Glory to God. So, Paul was teaching and this young man fell asleep. Amen. In fact, if you look at the way it was written, verse 9, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into what? A deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. That's what he says. He was singing it to a Jesus. Imagine Paul. You know, many of you will say, yeah, I wish I was just there when Paul used to teach in those days. Now, the calipers, anointing, everything like that. He was teaching, yearning. A man was sinking into a deep sleep. And snoring. Snoring. Then, Bible says, he was overcome by the sleep. Then what happened? He fell off the window. Glory to God. And died. What does that mean? Paul, maybe that time the anointing was already drying. Amen. If it were to be the early days, Mujeri, Paul, nobody can sleep. Who told you? Do you know why people sleep in church? Do you know why they sleep in church? Anybody? Do you know why people sleep during service? During teaching? Anybody? Lack of interest. Huh? Lack of what? Many reasons. Amen. The same reasons why they sleep in class. Glory to God. It is the same. Because if we were to be drumming and jumping and shouting, we go there, hail, nobody will sleep. But the moment it involves the use of your mind, you are sitting down, you are looking through things, you know, the body naturally gets into a passive state. So it takes an extra effort to pay attention. So discipleship is really about the content, the message, what we are giving to men. And listen, in discipleship, I'm trying to paint to you a pattern that is in scriptures that has been gradually eroded. In that discipleship, you can be tired while learning. You can feel like stretching your back, and then you get up and you do it. How do you read for exams? Do you read for exams at your convenience? Do you know what the Bible says? Be diligent to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know studying God's word is labor? So in that environment, when I feel sleep, I can get up, shake my body, move around, shake my body, and come back. I can put water on my face. Anything to stay awake. Do you know when the word of God will impact you? After that meeting. After we are done teaching like this. Go and give yourself to prayer. Amen. Let's just start praying. You discover that God's word has worked. God's word has affected your mind. The way you pray will be different. Glory to God. Also, you just discover you are gaining strength over some strange habits. It is the power of learning God's word the right way. So without that kind of devotion, men will not understand these things as they ought to. That's when one small pressure in life will come and you start second-guessing many of the things you thought you believed. Because that belief system was not based on conviction that came out of rigorously searching the scriptures. It was just sound bites. Hallelujah. Punch lines. Do you know, if all I wanted to say this morning is that we are righteous in Christ or that we need to stay with the scriptures, I don't need to go all around showing us scriptures. I could just come here and say, you know, we are righteous. Hallelujah. And everybody says, glory, we are righteous. And then we go. Hallelujah. And then we say, that was a powerful service. What is the essence of going through diverse things and working through different things? It is a process of renewing your mind. The more time you spend in it, the more time it will impact and affect your mind. Praise God. So if you are there for 2 hours, reading it over and over again, checking another place, having more insight, having more understanding, the more time you spend around it, the more it will affect you. Glory to God. So if it's edification we are looking for, and building conviction and getting men rooted and established, we must give ourselves to the study of the word. Making disciples. Praise God. Making what? Disciples. Praise God. So they understood it. Acts 11:26. What did men see that made them refer to us as Christians? Acts 11:26. What did they see that made them say, ah, these guys are Christians? Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. Are you here? Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. What did they see in Antioch? How many, the disciples were gathering together and assembling for how long? And what were they doing? The Bible says they taught the disciples for a space of 1 year. And men looked at them and said, these guys, they are Christians. Do you know why they were able to make that connection? Because Christians means the party of Christ. That's the word I-N-A behind it. It's not really Christ-like. That's why you have Herodians. You have, in those days, they had Herodians. So, they belong to the party of this person. So, they call them Christians because it was easy to make the connection. If you had looked at the ministry of Jesus, what would you have seen? Teaching. So, when they looked at these guys and they saw them teaching, and they heard the content of their message was about Jesus, these guys are Christians. Hallelujah. What they saw was not choreography. What they saw was indoctrination. Men trooping in to learn. Men trooping in to focus on God's word. And by that they said, these guys are Christians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's write. Acts 18, 1 to 11. Acts 19, 8 to 9. They also taught unbelievers the same way. Acts 18, 1 to 11. Acts 19, 8 to 9. They also taught unbelievers the same way. Glory to God. They taught unbelievers the same way. Acts 18, 1 to 11. So what happens in Acts 18, 1 to 11? Let's turn our Bibles there. Acts 18, 1 to 11. They taught unbelievers the way they taught the church. Don't forget where we are coming from. If you have not studied the scriptures and learned the gospel well, you have no business preaching the gospel. The man that is authorized to preach and teach the gospel is the man that has learned it and has understood it. Acts 18, 1 to 11. Listen carefully. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, so because he was of the same trade, he worked with them and worked for by occupation, they were tent makers. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. Now listen, when he says he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, who were those he was reasoning with? Jews and what? Were they believers? Were they believers? No. When he says he was reasoning with them and persuading them, what was he trying to do? Get them to believe the gospel. He did it every what? Every Sabbath. Hallelujah. Let's read down to verse 11. Okay, let me start from verse 8. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Have you seen that? So, in that environment, which was another place, at verse 7, and he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. So, in the environment of Paul's ministry, where he was teaching and preaching those things, another, somebody there believed with his household. Amen. Now, look at verse 9. Now, the Lord spoke to Paul in a night by vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. But speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Verse 11, let's read together. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Who were the them? Were they believers? Do you know this was how Paul reached the Corinthians? Do you know this is what Paul was referring to when he says at 1 Corinthians 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among yourself, Christ. What was, this is the experience he was talking about. That was how he gained entry to the Corinthians. That was how men were converted through rigorous, consistent teaching. Hallelujah. I think we've seen the example of the Bereans before. Acts 17. Acts 17:10-12. Those we used to call Bereans, they are not Christians. Be like Berean Christians. It's wrong. The Bereans were not Christians. They became Christians after they searched and found out that the things that Paul said to them were true. So, for those kind of people, they didn't believe because somebody was just trying to cajole them or say, come to our church, next week we are serving rice. Praise God. Those were not the ways they attracted people to church. It was through teaching. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 19, the second one. Acts 19, verse 9 to 8. Sorry, from 8 to 9. Acts 19, 8 to 9. Those of you going out to buy water, buy all this. From next week, just buy everything at the beginning of the meeting. You can buy one pack in case you can exhaust it. Praise God. And buy chewing gum. Buy 3 packets of chewing gum. Amen. So, we'll not be angry. Acts 19, from verse 8. Are we there? Let's read together. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of what? Of the kingdom of God. But when some were added and did not believe, or spoke evil of the way before the multitude.
What did he do?
He departed from there and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily
in where?
In the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for how many years? So that all who dwelt in Asia did what? Heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Were they believers or unbelievers? Hallelujah. Look into your Bible again. Were they believers or unbelievers? This particular one, there was a mixed crowd. Earlier on, he had reached out to some multitudes, to some 12. And then he went into another temple. The Corinthians received the gospel. And then Jigget. So there were people who had received the word. But there were now many more people coming to hear God's word. That is what he meant by the whole of Asia hearing the word of God. Amen. So imagine the approach. Why? Because Christianity, put this in your notes, is education. Hallelujah. Christianity is spiritual education. Christianity is spiritual education. You know, people have asked me over the years, this is your consistency. You've been saying the same things. You think it's a joke. What I know it well. Hallelujah. I know it well. Because of the way it was learned. Praise God. Chair and table discipline. Amen. Comparing notes. Reading. Trying to find out Bible position concerning a subject. And when I see it, that's the end. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said to Mary and Martha? He said, Martha, you are encumbered by many things. Mary has chosen that good part, which nobody will be able to do what? To take away from her. That's conviction. A man arrives at a place of conviction having thoroughly learned the scriptures. So while others are saying, maybe it's not really true. Some Christians fall sick. The moment they fall sick, healing power is not real. Hallelujah. Some Christians lose their job. I don't get this. I don't get this. Where is God? Hallelujah. Where is God in all this? That one is a product of poor spiritual education. He's an illiterate. Because if you have learned the word of God, you will know that adversity or the presence of adversity is not the same with an absence of God. Hallelujah. The fact that there are challenges does not mean God is not present. Because your persuasion is not from experiences. It is from God's word. Hallelujah. It is from the word of God. In fact, you couldn't have learned the scriptures and not be prepared for adversity. Do you understand that? God's word prepares us for times that seem as though things are, looking bleak and bad and all that. And gives us the prescription of how to go through those times. James 1:2. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, so you can be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. So we are prepared. So a good student of the Bible believes things because he has been able to see it in the Word, not what we believe in this church. Amen. You know, and this is not just about places where they don't teach as much. Even in a place like this where there's a lot of teaching, you can be in church and you are not following. You can be in church and you don't have the right attitude. You miss out on meetings regularly. You can be in church and you are not learning. Eventually, whatever you say you believe is not resting on something you have found to be true from the Word. You are just joining us. Amen. Praise God. In this church, we are word people. Who said that? Who told you we are word people in this church? Amen. Are you a word man? Answer for yourself now. Are you a word man? Are you a word person? You see some of you now. Why don't you ever? Not sure. Praise God. What I'm trying to say is, there's no such thing as we are word people. If you are not learning and following the teaching, you are not a word person, though you can be in a word church. Amen. Because there's an attitude. So learning is important. Praise God. So they taught unbelievers the same way. And listen, that was the reason why it wasn't hard for many of those people to continue with the church with the same pattern of teaching. I mean, before you got saved, they spent time teaching you. You know, we saw an example at Acts 28. Look at this now. They spent time teaching you. You now got saved. You now came to church. They now did 3 hours teaching. It's not new to you. But I mean, if the way you got saved was, say after me, say after me, say after me. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. You now come to church. We now do 1 hour teaching. You will be angry. You'll be offended. But those guys in those days, the people were converted with teaching meetings that were like they were teaching Christians. So after they believed the gospel, it wasn't hard. By this I'm saying, if this morning you are feeling like, this is too much burden, it's because of how you were converted. Praise God. It was because of how you were taught the gospel from the onset. Where did you meet the gospel? Me, I remember clearly the first time I understood certain truths, new Christian realities, was my brother. In the sitting room, it was not 5 minutes gist. We came back from church, we sat down, we were in the park, and he kept talking. In fact, I lost track of time. He was just talking, he kept talking and sharing and sharing and sharing. That was how the understanding of certain things were born. Hallelujah. So if you have been well taught to receive the gospel, it won't be difficult for you to continue in that tradition. Hallelujah. Acts 28. Acts of Apostles 28. Look at your Bibles quickly. You know, it's so good to have a church that is given to learning. But the essence of this teaching is to help us know how we ought to also disciple others. If you have a disciple somewhere, this is the approach and the mode of teaching. You must teach them God's word this way. Hallelujah. Acts 28. Acts 28, and I'll read from verse 20. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. This is Paul speaking. He called for the elders in Israel. Then they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets. From when? Till when? Evening. Were these guys believers in Christ? No. He was trying to make them believe in the gospel. And he did what? He taught them from morning to evening. He was receiving them daily. Hallelujah. Look at how the book of Acts closes. Look at how the book of Acts closes. Verse 30. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. In those days, if you wanted to know a leader of a church or a pastor, an apostle, anybody at all, the distinguishing mark, what set them apart from the rest, was that vocation of teaching. Teaching meant the word of God. It was a life's passion and vocation. Amen. Paul at Acts 20, he says, I have not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Amen. The reason why we have series that spans into 6-7 days, 6-7 weeks and all that, is not because we just want to appear to be studying. It is because it demands it. Amen. How many of you remember that we were meant to close this last week? I had announced it. But we couldn't close because there was more to say. That is why series extend. Glory to God. I am not sure to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Elsewhere it says, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know, after this kind of teaching session now, after this meeting, I may just call the leaders and the HODs and say, let's have another session. Amen. Let's have another session. Go and stretch, take water, come back, let's have a session. Leaders. That was how they were teaching in those days. Glory be to God. And you see, that was how those guys were solid. They were very solid. That was the reason why they could withstand persecution. The church of Jesus, listen up, the church of Jesus is yet to know how strong we are until persecution breaks out against the church. You think we have solid Christians? The day they cut somebody's head and they butcher somebody on the way to church for going to church, that is the day we will know those who really believe we can die for the gospel. Amen. Including the pastor. Hallelujah. That's the day. It will reveal it. The apostles and the early church were able to go through persecution because of the mode of learning. They were persuaded. Hallelujah. They were persuaded. How do you explain men that were beaten and on their way home, they were rejoicing? How says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name? Hallelujah. That is not like the present day church that changes songs like, no matter what I face, when success comes my way, I will. Is that what is there? No matter what I face, when what? When trouble. No. It's negative confession. It's not. When success comes my way, we were bread and butter Christians. Hallelujah. How would you change a song like that? You think it's negative confession? How come? Negative confession is saying, trouble will always come my way. I will not be victorious. That one is negative. But it's a confession of faith to say, in spite of the troubles that come my way, I will still triumph. Do you understand? So you don't deny that there can be troubles. The church of Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said it. And the reason why we are not seeing it in this land is because of the nature of the state we are living in. That is the nation. If you were a Christian in China or Iraq or Iran, you will know the difference. Let me give you a story. One of the American missionaries that went to China for a meeting. In fact, he was not a pastor. He just went there and the normal person in church that went to China. Guess what? They hijacked him and said, oh, you are from America. Do you know the Bible? You've learned the Bible. Oh, good. Come. They hijacked him. He said, come and read the Bible to us. Because we don't understand it. Come and read to us and teach us. So the man said, for how long? He said, no, just start. How long again? Start. And let me know my last. Praise God. So he began to read, recite, and they went on for 8 hours. And they were there. He was the one who was tired. They were ready. You know why? Because there's so much attack against the church, they don't even have time for learning scripture. They don't even know how to understand scriptures. I'm talking about the onset of the Genesis. So whenever they see any Christian around, whether you were an usher in your church, they'll just, come and teach us God's word. And then they'll give you, they say, what time, sir? Say, which time? No, just feel free. Praise God. And they'll sit on the floor and you'll be reading. And you'll teach. You say, please, let me go on a break. You say, okay, go on a break. We are still here. Come, don't go. Come and teach us. Hallelujah. They were hungry for the word of God. The kind of move of the spirit that those guys are seeing. Hallelujah. You know, they said that one time, they discovered that somebody had come to spy out on their meeting. And he was going to bring, you know, some government officials to come and fight them and all that. So, in that meeting, they said, everybody should pray and get the location of the next meeting. We are not going to announce it. Everybody should pray, get the location of the place we are going to meet next service, because there's a spy in the midst of us. And they all went away. And during the next meeting, they all converged except the spy. Praise God. Do you know that's miraculous? That's raw power. But it is born out of what? The way they give themselves to God's word. I'm only a fan of a revival that is poured out in the land as a result of more commitment to God's word. More commitment to God's word. Learning in prayer. Glory to God. Discipleship. Ask your neighbor, are you ready for this? Are you really ready for this? Ask your neighbor, are you ready to be tired for Jesus? Hallelujah. Say, are you ready to be tired for Jesus? Do you know one of the things that amazed me? Who do you think is doing most of the work right now? You or me? Huh? So it's always amazing when somebody that is sitting down says, oh, it's tiring. Just go, what should I be saying? Hallelujah. Now imagine this. Apart from that, do you think as I'm here standing now, do you think I'm feeling like doing it for long? Is that what you think? Do you know that sometimes my body is also tired? I've come to preach from having vigil. I've come to preach from not sleeping, staying up late till 4 a.m., 5 a.m. And I'll come and preach and my body is not cooperating. But I would endure it. Why? Because I have to teach. Some of the times that Paul went to reach out to some guys, he reached out to them after he was stoned and beaten. How do you think his body was feeling in that meeting? I mean, let's quickly close and go home. But he would stay. Hallelujah. Because that is what the ministry of the word demands. Glory be to God. So we are saying all these things well because of this series. Amen. Kerygma, how it was proclaimed. It was proclaimed as the promises of God fulfilled in Christ. It was the method of teaching also is rigorous. It is not gentle. It is not sharp. It is not fast. Let's just quickly look into the word. We don't quickly, hallelujah, we patiently look through the word. Amen. Patiently find out what the Lord is saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Alright, so let me begin to attempt to close. That's right. So, from all we have seen so far, it is evident that the gospel cannot be preached by your lifestyle. From all we have seen so far, it is evident that the gospel cannot be preached by your lifestyle. Hallelujah. The content of the gospel cannot be seen in your lifestyle. The content of the gospel cannot be seen in your lifestyle. It has to be explained. The content of the gospel cannot be seen in your lifestyle. It has to be explained. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The only sinless and spotless person. Or let me say this, and then you put it in your own words. You know the idea of, let's just preach with our life. It's not really about teaching. You think it's by preaching and all that people say. It's wrong on many grounds. If there was ever anybody that had the kind of life that could just preach, it's Christ. Amen. It was sinless, spotless. I mean, you could not fault anything about Jesus. But he did not preach with his lifestyle. He went about preaching with words. So put that in your own words. Jesus had such qualification to allow people just look at his life and believe God. But he didn't do that. He taught. He preached. He enrouted the truth with words. With words. Hallelujah. He enrouted the truth with words. And I said last week, Paul speaking at 2 Corinthians 4:5, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants." We don't preach ourselves. We preach Him. People are not meant to look at my life to believe God. No. Hallelujah. I also explained 2 Corinthians 3, 1-3, where Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are epistle written in our heart, and known and read by all men." I said, that does not mean Paul was saying that the Corinthians were just preaching by their lives. It says commendation, epistle of commendation, letters of recommendation from you. That was about Paul. Paul was saying the Corinthians were the proof of his ministry. We don't need anybody to commend us as ministers of God. We don't need anybody to say, you guys, you are ministers of God based on some other, parameters. The proof of our apostleship is the product of, the product of changed lives, the Corinthians. So, when we say, you don't need to preach, you are an epistle read by all men, it doesn't make sense. The context of Paul's discourse is how that the Corinthians are the proof of his work. You can be in a bus, for instance, and nobody knows whether you're a Christian or not. So I can't be saying you are an epistle read by all men in that context. Hallelujah. So we don't preach by our lifestyle, we preach by words. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-4. Paul preached to the Corinthians by words. Amen. I said to you, and we're going to write a lot of scriptures now for further study. I said to you that the root word for kerygma is keruzo. And keruzo means to what? To proclaim and to herald with words. Keruzo is spelled K-E-R-U-S-S-O. K-E-R-U-S-S-O. To proclaim, to herald, to teach, verbal indoctrination. So, with the definition alone, you know that you can't be saying, "I'm preaching by my lifestyle." Preaching means to say something, to herald. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, let's write down these portions where the word keruzo is translated. Preach. Matthew 4:17. Matthew 10:7. Matthew 10:27. Matthew 11:1. Mark 1:4. Mark 1:38. Mark 16:14-15. Luke 4:18-19. Luke 9:2. Acts 10:42. Romans 10:15. 1 Corinthians 1:23. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Galatians 2:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preached. The past tense. Mark 1:7. Mark 1:39. So you can just do 1:7, 1:39, because everything I'm going to call in now is from the book of Mark. Mark 1:7, Mark 1:39, 6:12, 14:9, 16:20, 6:12, 14:9, 16:20, Luke 4:44, Luke 24:47, Acts 8:5, Acts 9:20, Acts 10:37, 1 Corinthians 9:27, 1 Corinthians 15:12, 2 Corinthians 1:19, 2 Corinthians 11:4, 1 Thessalonians 2:9, 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Peter 3:19. 1 Peter 3:19. Preaching. That's the third one. Preaching. Mark 1:14. Be true to yourself. Go back home and look through these scriptures and, you know, find out for yourself how that everywhere it is about using your words. There is nothing like preaching with how you live. It is preaching with words. How you live can aid people's reception of the message. That is, if I live as I ought to live, it can aid the reception of people around me to consider the message. But my living itself is not the message. So Mark 1:14, Luke 3:3, Luke 8:1, Acts 20:25, Acts 28:31. Mark 1:14, Luke 3:3, Luke 8:1, Acts 20:25, Acts 20:25, Acts 28:31. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's write. So you see that it requires speaking out. There's a quote that says, preach the gospel always. Preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. There's a quote that says, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Hallelujah. Listen to me. I don't understand the intention or the intent of that quote. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the person was thinking about. I don't know why it was said, but it's a faulty submission. Maybe what the person meant to say is, preach the gospel, that is, leave the gospel every time. Then when it's necessary, you now use words. But that's not what we see in scriptures. When we say preach the gospel always, what we are saying is not to use words when necessary. For preaching the gospel, it has become a necessity to use words. Every time you attempt to preach, you must use words. Hallelujah. So don't fall for that bait. Just preach every time, but only when it's necessary should you use words. Every time you want to preach, it is necessary to use words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You haven't preached till you have spoken to someone. Amen. So, listen. Let me begin to close with this now. Have you noticed that all the major cults in the world, all the false teachings, false teachers, all of them without any exception, have you noticed that the way they got men to believe in what they were doing was by preaching? Do you know they don't just live their life and expect you to believe? They preach. Amen. Do you know that even the idea of we don't have to preach, not everybody is meant to preach, just live your life. Are you aware even that is a preaching? Amen. That particular perspective was sold to the church via preaching. Goes all the more to show us the potency of using words. They used such words to make sure believers are not committed. And it worked. How much more using the right words? Hallelujah. To steer men up to believe. There's a deliberateness. There's an intentionality to preaching God's word. Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. Glory to God. How do we even say, the man is an unbeliever? Why? Hasn't he been observing us? Amen. Why can't he believe all this? Why? Haven't he been seeing us? No. The only reason why we say a man has not believed is after we what? We preach. Romans 10. How shall they believe without hearing? How shall they preach without a preacher? Praise God. So there's a necessity. The idea of preaching the gospel by your lifestyle, and you don't need to intentionally talk and, you know, speak to men with words, is convenient. Isn't it? It's convenient. That is the reason why believers embraced it. Amen. Just quickly embrace it. Because it is convenient for you. Wow. I never knew. Wow. So I don't have to. Wow. This is great. Wow. That teacher has depth. Amen. Because it suits your complacency. It keeps you in the comfort zone. But the one that says, go out. Let's go and preach. We have to reach men deliberately. That one places a demand on you. And the only way you would excuse yourself is to say it's not necessary to preach. Say to your neighbor, it is necessary to preach the gospel with words. Say to your neighbor, only by words can we preach the gospel. Ask your neighbor, did you believe the gospel by observing somebody's life? Get an answer. Get an answer. Anybody? Now, if anybody believes the gospel by observing a lifestyle, just stay after the service. Yes, we have to get you converted. Because you couldn't have believed by watching somebody's life. Faith comes by hearing by what? The word of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm not closing. You know, we are used to that. By the time it gets to a high point, you just close. No, we're not close. In fact, we can close when everybody is now very tired. Nothing is high. Just say, I close. Praise God. And we have closed. 1 Corinthians. So, let's read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 24. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness of what? Preaching. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Preaching. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined among you not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching. Hallelujah. My speech and my what? My preaching. Words. We're not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How does the Holy Spirit teach? By the preaching of what? The gospel. Amen. You must say it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be ye reconciled to Christ. Hallelujah. As a church, we have been commissioned to preach because the content of the message cannot be known or understood by any other means. If we don't preach, you know what we are doing? We are depriving men of coming into the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. So we are to preach. Amen. Now write down these two paragraphs. Very important. It's your solemn commitment. These two paragraphs. Very important. It's your commitment. Say, I commit myself, write it down, I commit myself afresh to the study of the scriptures. I commit myself afresh to the study of scriptures. Some of you should have vigils of God's word. Vigils, you are searching and investigating scriptures. Away with child's play and kids' gloves. Serious business. Hallelujah. I commit myself to the study of scriptures. I reckon that I am a student of the word. I reckon that I am a student of the word. I reckon that I am a student of the word. I would have vigils of study. Do you know you are making a solemn pledge? Hallelujah. I will have vigils of study. Hours of study. Weeks of study. Days of study. Just to know him more. I have vigils of study, weeks of study, hours of study, days of study, just to know him more. I have chosen the word as my life's devotion. I have chosen the word as my life's devotion. Come rain or shine, I will be found at his feet, learning his word. Come rain or shine, I will be found at his feet, learning his word. Hallelujah. The next paragraph. This one is for us collectively. Let us as a church preach and teach men the gospel. Let us as a church preach and teach men the gospel. Let us as a church preach and teach men the gospel. As it is presented in the ministry of Christ and his apostles. As it is presented in the ministry of Christ and his apostles. Let us choose obedience over convenience. Let us choose obedience over convenience. Let us choose obedience over excuses. Let us choose obedience over convenience. Obedience over excuses. God is counting on us to make a difference in the lives of men. God is counting on us to make a difference in the lives of men with the knowledge of Christ. God is counting on us to make a difference in the lives of men with the knowledge of Christ. God is counting on us to educate men and lead them out of ignorance. God is counting on us to educate men and lead them out of their ignorance. Hallelujah. God is counting on us to make a difference in the lives of men with the knowledge of Christ. God is counting on us to educate men and lead them out of their ignorance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say with me, I will not give excuses. Say boldly, say, I will not give excuses. Say boldly, I will not fail God. Say with me, I will fulfill my ministry. Say boldly, I will not give excuses. I will not fail God. I will fulfill my ministry. Lift your hands and give him praise and thank him. Go ahead, give your heart to him. Drag yourself away from the cares of life. Give your emotions. Give your time. Your willingness. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Everybody remain on your seat. And just pray that prayer. Heartfelt prayer. I'm renewing my passion, my commitment. I'm not going to choose the easy way. I'm not just going to choose the easy way. It is about what God has said in his word. I'm going to live in obedience to the will of the Father. I'm going to live in obedience. I'm going to live in obedience to the will of the Father. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Obedience to the will of the Father. Obedience to the will of the Father. Come on now, come on now. Make sure you are praying. We yield ourselves. We give ourselves in heartfelt service. Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are not clinging to our own will. We are not clinging to our own will. We are not clinging to our own will. It's about the will of God. It is about the will of God. And what is that will of God? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is about God's will. 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 Go ahead and make sure you're praying. 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 Oh Jesus, Afala Prado, Shoprakati, and Brokos, Lengetus, Zofet, Redi, and Rakizos, Shala, the Baratali, and Lagadina, Chloros, Jetel, and the Los to Paris, the Baron, the Sudia. Hey, 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 Alagata, Malagaradani, and Labakatun, as you delegate the Territilla, Kakalagra, Kakabashaka, Territilla, and Rikabalashata. When you receive the word, the best thing to do next is to pray. Make sure you are praying. Yeah, 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 I know you may be tired in your body, but it doesn't stop you from praying. Pray. Have the training. Give yourself to prayer. Jesus, oh! Woo! Kalamalashaka. Vandule chule gebolo sude vele chule chini kenono sude iya galate. Rano nani ya dina malaguru nolo uluru gibashaka. Oh yes Lord. We are your people Lord. Yielded in service. Given over to your will. In commitment to your cause. Pela makutus vala tete no kolondus. Away from the pressures of life. Away from the cares of life. Oh yes. Oh yes, Lord.